Hello and good morning. Welcome to our morning devos. We are in Philippians chapter 4. If you know that, if you've been with us, we know that we've been going through the book of Philippians. We'll be wrapping up tomorrow. But today we're looking at a few verses in Philippians chapter 4. This is verses 2 through 9. So Philippians chapter 4, reading verses 2 through 9. Let me read this for us. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. In my Bible, the ESV Bible, this passage is titled Exhortation, Encouragement, and Prayer, which I feel like is the way the editors of the ESV lump together some of Paul's closing thoughts. You know, that's like, this is just what it is. It's an exhortation, an encouragement, and a prayer all in one section. And so it's a lot of stuff in here. It sort of like feels like a collection of thoughts. And I do feel like we could say a lot about each different point. But let's quickly hit each thing that we see here. In verses 2 and 3, it appears that there were two people in the church in Philippi, Euodia and Syntyche, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, who were having some issues with each other. We don't know what those issues are, but in the end, it appears that they weren't able to reconcile. So Paul here is urging those to whom he's writing to help these women to reconcile and agree in the Lord. And I love this for many different reasons. One, I feel kind of bad for these women that the only time they're mentioned in the Bible, they're known as people who had a quarrel with each other. But more so, I love this because it shows us the reality that the church is sometimes going to be a bit of a mess. Even a church like this one in Philippi, one that Paul found great joy in, this church had issues between members. And again, we don't know why or, you know, what caused this, but knowing this, Paul urges them to reconcile. Obviously, that's the Christian thing to do. But the thing is, this isn't only directed at them. He does address them, but it's not only directed at them. In fact, he says others in the church are called to be involved. He speaks to the one that he's writing to, you know, he's verse 3. I ask you also, true companion, help these women. It's pointing to the reality that we're meant to get into the messes of others. You know, this is what we're meant to be and do as the church. We're not meant to look away and pretend like we don't see the issues or conflicts. We're meant to help one another. And yes, even sometimes get involved in what we might consider other people's messes. And sure, it's not comfortable. It certainly might seem like it'd be much easier if you didn't have to get involved. But as a church, we're meant to consider the health of the whole church, to help one another, yes, even resolve conflicts. So do you have people in your life who are having a hard time getting along? Maybe it's family group or microchurch members or maybe roommates or whatever it might be. Or maybe you yourself are having a hard time with somebody else. Well, let's work to agree in the Lord and even help each other to do so. Now, moving on to verses 4 through 7, Paul gives a few commands here. First, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then, just in case you didn't get it the first time, he says again, rejoice. This is in line with the other things Paul says about joy in the book of Philippians. Rejoice always. And then he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That word reasonableness here can also be translated as gentleness or a forbearing and patient spirit. So Paul writes, let your patient, gentle spirit be known to all. And then almost as an add-on, he says, the Lord is at hand, meaning Jesus is soon returning. This feels similar to what it says in James chapter 5, verse 8, where James writes, you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So it seems Paul is saying, hey guys, Christ is soon returning. We don't know when that is, but he is coming soon. So let's take on his character of gentleness and patience. Let's show the world who Christ is through this type of character. Right? So let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That's the second command. And then after that, he commands, do not be anxious about anything, but let your requests be made known to God through prayer. Just to summarize that. This is a verse that many of us probably know, but even still, how often do we worry and fret? I admit that I do that way more often than I know I should. Paul recognizes that there are going to be worries and anxieties in life, but rather than holding on to it, just keeping it in and trying to just figure it out, he urges us to come to the Lord in prayer with hearts of thanksgiving. And when we do so, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds from these anxieties and will be filled instead with his truth. And finally, to wrap up this section, Paul gives one final command. It's to urge us, he urges us to think about that which is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy. In other words, we're called to think about and turn our attention to the things that are of God. Because God is true and honorable. He is pure and lovely. He is excellent and certainly most worthy of praise. So he calls us to turn our attention to God. Now, in a way, each of these four commands could be a sermon in and of themselves. There's so much more we could say about each of these things. And maybe there are specific things that the Spirit is saying to you through this passage that I haven't mentioned just yet. But to close, I want to look at what Paul says at the very end of this passage. In verse 9, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. He says to practice these things. It's often tempting to look at the Christian life as things we must or must not do, and there's certainly an element of that. In fact, we just saw several examples of this, where Paul literally commands us what things to do or not do. But I love that he caps these commands by telling us to practice these things. By saying this, he makes it clear that we're expected to do these things, yes, but it's not simply a matter of simply just getting things done. Instead, the language of practicing conveys a sense of growing in these things. It's not a one-and-done type of action, but something that can and should be worked on, something we can improve in. So, for example, maybe right now you find yourself getting anxious quite often, and you have a hard time turning to God in prayer. Well, let's practice this. As with almost anything in life, practice will help you to grow and improve. And the same applies to various disciplines in the Christian life. And as we do this, as we practice these things, as Paul concludes, the God of peace will be with you. As you intentionally rejoice, as you practice coming to the Lord in prayer and think about that which is of God, the God of peace will be with you. You'll come to see him and know him better and more deeply. Anyone who has practiced a musical instrument, a sport, or any other craft will know that practice isn't always easy. You're not always going to see visible results right away. In fact, sometimes you might feel like you're going backwards, and it can feel like a grind. Some of these things will also apply sometimes when it comes to our spiritual practices. But brothers and sisters, let's put these things into practice. And in doing so, not only grow in these areas, not just become an outwardly godly looking people, but ultimately come to know and experience more deeply the God of peace. Let us practice these things. Let's live it out and become more like Christ, exhibit his character, not only for our sake, but so that others may come to know him as well. With that, let me close this time with a word of prayer. Lord, in this passage, there really is a lot that we could cover. and go into a lot more detail in. But Father, help us to be a people who do rejoice always. Help us to be a people who are able to love those around us and help one another come to be reconciled in you. Help us to be a people who are not anxious, but instead come to you in prayer with thanksgiving. And help us to be a people, Lord, who are thinking of, looking to you, and filling ourselves that which is of you, God. And Lord, these are all things that obviously I'm sure we all wish we could figure out and get done just kind of instantaneously. But Lord, we know that oftentimes these things take time, and not just time, but intentional practice. And so, Lord, help us to do that. I'm sure all of us right now know the areas where we fall short, areas that need improving. Well, Lord, give us a spirit that is determined to practice. Practice not simply just to get better, but so that we might experience and know you, Lord, the God of peace, who is and will be with us. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you for these words, these teachings from the Apostle Paul. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.